Hi, I'm Kathy Kinnett. As Pat said, I've been working with PPMD exclusively for about a year and a half, so I'm very happy to be here. Last year, we concentrated, as Jim and Gary both explained, on the Transforming Duchenne Care Initiative, addressing gaps in care, looking at standardizing care across the country. And this year, we chose to address yet another gap in care, which we saw as transition. So I'm just going to explain a little bit about what we've done for the last 24 hours. This is the second expert meeting. The first was held 2 years ago in Amsterdam. So this meeting was a continuation of the progress that was made at the initial meeting. So just to start off, the focus of this meeting was lifespan care, and what we wanted to do was identify primarily the needs of adolescents and young adults as they transitioned from pediatrics through adolescence into adulthood within the scope of their underlying diagnosis. So as Pat said, not exclusively just medical transition, but medical transition and life transition across the lifespan. We wanted to develop a comprehensive transition program that addressed those needs and then develop tools that would accompany those, be a part of that program that would help providers and patients and parents as they help their child through this transition process. So why is this important? Well, we know that there's a growing population of adults with Duchenne, which is a great problem to have, right? But now we need to address that issue, and we need to address it in a comprehensive way. The average lifespan of a patient with Duchenne is now approximately 28. People are living much longer than that, so we need to address those issues that come up after adolescence. There aren't many adult care providers out there. So while we are saying that we're going to transfer people from adult from pediatric to adult care, we need to discuss and identify who those adult providers will be and then give them a plan of continued care for what's been historically a pediatric diagnosis. Currently, there is no comprehensive plan of transition, so we wanted to ensure that pediatric patients entered adult care in a prepared manner. So what would the elements of a comprehensive transition program be? Well, first of all, it would be uninterrupted care. So we want this to be a smooth process from pediatrics to adulthood. We want it to be patient-centered and age-appropriate and developmentally appropriate. As we know, every 13-year-old isn't in the same phase of development in any area of their life. So we wanted this to be a fluid, flexible, living document. And we wanted this to cover all areas of life. We want it to be We want patient education around the diagnosis, and in addition, we want to promote skills in communication, decision-making, self-care, self-advocacy, so really enabling and empowering the adolescent and young adult to advocate for themselves and their well-being. We want to ensure that any comprehensive program helps with personal and medical independence, and give individuals a sense of control over their health, their health care, and their psychosocial environment. So that's a huge undertaking, right? So we had our work cut out for us. So just to review a few definitions, because I think many people use transition, age-appropriate care, and transfer interchangeably, and they, in fact, are not the same thing. So we chose to define transition first, and the transition definition that came up with everyone's presentation was this one from Hudsmith and Thorne that describes transition as the purposeful, planned process that addresses the medical, psychosocial, educational, and vocational needs of adolescents and young adults with chronic physical and medical conditions as they move from a child-centered to an adult-centered healthcare system. So what should this include? Well, we'd agreed that a comprehensive transition program would include three curriculum. So curricula around diagnosis, medical needs, diagnostic issues, an age-appropriate curriculum that works with developmental needs, the age-appropriate needs, what do you need when you're 13, what do you need to know when you're 15, as well as the educational and vocational planning, because as young adults and adolescents want to be productive members of society, we want to enable that and empower them to be that as well. So what is age-appropriate care? Well, age-appropriate care should be part of any transition program, and that involves meeting the needs at each stage of transition. Transition doesn't happen in isolation. Every adolescent, pediatric patient who transcends from through adolescence and into adult care, does that in the perspective of their life. So they're undergoing the same developmental tasks and participating in all the same developmental tasks that any other adolescent and young adult are participating in, but they have the added concerns of their diagnosis on top of that. All transition programs do not involve transfer. So transfer can be one of three things. It can be physically moving from a pediatric to an adult institution. It can be staying within the pediatric institution but moving from a pediatric provider to an adult provider. Or it can be staying with the pediatric provider. But in any case, whether or not there's physical transfer of providers or facilities, the adolescent needs to transition from pediatric parent-centered care to adult patient-centered care. So our proposed project was to build on the work that was done at the first expert meeting. And that expert meeting was summarized in this document, which everyone was well acquainted with, and again was held in June 2011. And the first expert meeting identified five topics that they felt were important for transition. So the first was how to engage in difficult conversations. Obviously, there's a lot of difficult conversations. There's difficult conversations between parents and children. There's difficult conversations between two parents, between parents and providers, between providers and children. So what are those difficult conversations and how do we begin to engage in those? We want to all agree that transition should start really early, and I would propose that transition actually starts at diagnosis with the expectation that there is a future, that people will transcend from pediatrics to adulthood, and we need to start planning for that at diagnosis. The third one was patient styles and coping, so identifying that each individual has a different style of managing stress and has a different strategy for coping with any difficult situation that comes up in their life. The fourth was managing difficult transitions, otherwise known as watershed moments, although some of us had difficulty with that topic, but difficult transitions throughout life, transitions in ambulation, transitions in respiratory assistance, transitions in just any transitions. And then the fifth and last one was adjusting or adapting to a changing body. We loosely wanted to break transition down into three phases. So phase one, loosely, would be from diagnosis through probably elementary school. Phase two would be elementary school to the beginning of high school. And phase three would be high school and on. And again, these were loose and fluid, knowing that, again, people are not going to be in the same phase for any of these topics at any time. So the tasks of the meeting were to develop a grid around these five topics, splitting transition and each topic into three phases, and including diagnostic curriculum, developmental curriculum, and educational vocational curriculum for each one. And this is what the grid looked like. There was lots and lots of conversation around every one of these boxes. The plan is to combine resources that are already existing. So the MDA has great resources. Action Duchenne has great resources. GotTransition.gov has great resources. There are a lot of things that are out there on the web already. We're not into reinventing the wheel at any time. So we want to somehow combine those resources and put them all together in a common space using common language so that any provider, patient, or parent can go to any source or any site and access those resources. It was a huge project and it was an intense 24 hours, and I would really appreciate it if everybody who's here in the audience who participated would stand up for a minute and just be acknowledged for all of your experience and expertise and hard work. So please stand up. We had six patients that were involved, individuals, not patients, who were involved in this process as well. Patrick Denger, Liam Kuchia, I'm sorry, my brain is so tired. Teja Sarampudi and Max. Hmm? Gravenstein, sorry, I'm so sorry. And Ben Dupree, I'm so sorry. I had a little paper and I don't know where it went. But all the individuals who were involved were extremely helpful. Parents were ridiculously helpful. And hopefully we'll come up with a product, and by next year we'll be able to show it and show you what we did. Thank you very much.